and with love to us incline.
I've asked Dean and Chris to help with the reading of the Gospel this morning. Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A curious Pharisee visits Jesus by night to learn from the teacher his friends rejected. Jesus speaks to him about life in the Spirit and the kingdom of God. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him,
"Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God."
Jesus answered him,
"Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above."
Nicodemus said to him,
"How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into mother's womb and be born?"
Jesus answered,
"Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit."
Nicodemus said to him,
"How can these things be?"
Jesus answered him,
"Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, and the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, what whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated. Invite the children to come up. I have an assignment for you. How good are you at art? Can you draw pictures? Could you? Well, what I want you to do is draw me a picture of God. What does God look like? If we're drawing a picture, how are you going to draw a picture of God? Well, yeah, he died, but how are you going to draw a picture? By praying, that'll help you find the right picture? Yeah? What kind of things do you think make God different from everybody else? Has anybody seen God? No. So how can we draw a picture of Jesus, of God? We know he's powerful, yeah? Maybe we could make him look like a volcano. No, that doesn't. Need something else powerful, or maybe a G-Man or one of those action figures. No, that doesn't work either. Well, Jesus was God's Son, and you all have a father, right? And a mother. Do you look anything like them? Maybe a little, yeah. You look like them. So if we drew a picture of Jesus, that might be easier, wouldn't it? And what are some things that Jesus did?
Took care of us?
Yeah, he takes care of us. He loves us. He forgives our sins. How did he do that? What did he do? What did he do? He died on the cross, right? He died on the cross. So we could draw a picture of a cross. And it wouldn't be a picture of God, but it would be a picture that would help us remember God, wouldn't it? So since we can't see God's face, and actually nobody really knows what Jesus looked like, do they? They don't have any, no, there were no photographers around then. So artists have drawn pictures of God, of Jesus, but the cross helps us remember what Jesus stands for. And that is what God stands for too, right? The cross tells us we've been forgiven. Shall we thank God for that? Thank you, God, for calling us to be your children, for helping us to look a little bit like you too, especially when we do your will. Bless us today so that we can bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. When I was in seminary, a friend of mine asked me to help him with a youth group that he was working with in one of the churches on the north side of Minneapolis. And it was one of my weaker moments when I said yes, because what I was supposed to do was dress up like a tramp, a bum. And they provided me with this ugly overcoat. And I had a sweatshirt with a hood that covered some of my face. And they gave me this cap that covered the rest of it. So all I could see was through this little slit. But what I was to do was to carry a cross in front of the entrance to the church. So for a half hour before the service started, I walked all the way to the end of the church property, turned around, and I walked all the way back over and over again for a half hour. You know, it's amazing what people will say. And I could overhear them saying things like, "Why did they go protest someplace else?" Or, "What's that bum doing at our church?" Things like that. Well, that was just the beginning. At the end of when the bells rang and the church started, I went in the back, in the narthex back there, stood back there. The ushers looked at me like, "What are you doing here?" Because they didn't know what was going on. Now, I should say, across the street, the kids who were doing this special program had set up a video camera. And they were filming this for a commercial on TV. So I'm in the back of the church waiting, and when the pastor, this is when the announcements, remember, were somewhere around the time of the reading of one of the lessons, back in the ancient days, remember those? Anyway, the pastor was just beginning the announcements, and I came down the aisle very slowly, carrying my cross. And the pastor knew what was going on, but he acted like he didn't, and he just stopped with his mouth open, watching me come all the way down to the front of the church. And when I got there, I laid the cross on the steps and then left. They were advertising the fact that they were going to show a movie that had to do with carrying your cross. And what I discovered in this whole thing was, I don't like to carry a cross. Just plain and simple. I don't. And it also reminded me that I don't always like to act like Jesus. How many of you have crosses on as jewelry this morning? Yeah, a few people. Yeah. Have you been acting like Jesus since you got the cross? Yeah, but that's something to think about. If we're going to wear a cross, we need to act like Jesus would act. To love like Jesus would love. To care for people. And to love them and bring healing to them. A 17th century scholar by the name of Meridius was in exile from France. And where he was staying, he got very, very sick. And they took him to the hospital. Well, the ambulance drivers, this is 17th century, looked at him and he looked like a tramp. He looked like he was poor and indigent. So they took him to what they called the pauper's hospital. Now, that was the hospital they had for the poor, which gave minimal care for anybody. It was more of a place to go, to die. Well, the doctors examined him, and they began to discuss him while he was laying there in Latin, figuring this guy wouldn't have a clue what Latin was. And one of the doctors said, "Let's do some experiments on this worthless creature." And Meridius, in perfect Latin, said, "Do not call one who for whom Christ died worthless." It's something we have to keep in mind, you know, when we think about carrying the cross, about being like Jesus, about doing what Jesus calls us to be. That we are not worthless. Abraham thought he was worthless. In the gospel, in the book of Genesis, we're told that he was a wandering Aramean, meaning that he was a shepherd who just went from one place to the other with his sheep, really never amounting to anything. But in that day, in order to be of any worth to his neighbors or even to himself, he had to have kids. Because this was an area in which they worshipped the moon god. To worship the moon god, you had to offer one of your children as a sacrifice. And since he couldn't offer a child for sacrifice, as far as his neighbors were concerned, he was worthless too. But God speaks to him in that time and says, "Abraham, I will bless you so that you may bless others. I will make you the father of many nations." Of course, we've read the stories of how Abraham argues about, "God, how can you do that? I don't even have any kids." But God had promised him a son, and he has that son. Now, we know also the part of the story where he takes that son, Isaac, up on the mountain and almost offers him as a sacrifice. Now, those of you who've been in the Bible study have seen the pictures I showed of the Temple Mount. And if any of you have ever seen it, it's that big golden dome, the thing on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Under that is the rock on which Abraham is said to have almost sacrificed his son. It's also the one the Muslims claim Muhammad ascended and descended from heaven on. So that rock played an important role. But Paul, in his letter to the Romans, reminds us that God counted Abraham's faith, Abraham's willingness to do what God said, even in the light of all the evidence saying no, he was worthless. He accepted what God said, and that was counted for him as righteousness. Wow. Abraham is told, "I will bless you so that you may be a blessing." One of the problems that the people of God had from the time of Abraham on, and even today, and it flowed has flowed right into the Christian church too. And that is, we remember the first part, but we forget the second. God said, I will bless you in order that you may be a blessing. As this song, and if you've heard me sing this before, sing along when you feel like it. We are blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. God our Creator and God our Provider continues to care for us, blesses us every day. Yes, we're blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. Baptized and claimed are we, truly God names us the children of God, like the Son of the Father above. Yes, we're blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. We live as children of God, we're a covenant people, a people of promise, of promise and hope. We are blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. God our Creator and God our Provider continues to care for us, blesses us every day. We are blessed to be a blessing. So, here's the deal. As blessed as we are, if we don't share that good news, if ever a week goes by when we don't invite someone to worship, someone to be part of our fellowship, then we've missed a part of what God has promised us. We are called to be blessings to others, not just for ourselves. There's a story about a Tennessee farmer. He was an older guy, and he wanted to join the Civil War. All he had to take with him was his old squirrel gun. Wasn't much of a gun, but it would shoot down a squirrel here or there. His problem was he couldn't keep straight the various bugle calls. So they're all fighting, and there's fire coming at them, and it's coming pretty furiously, and somebody blows the bugle. It was the bugle call to retreat, but he thought it was the one to attack, and he charged right into the woods and disappeared for a little while, and pretty soon he came back over the ridge with a prisoner right in front of him. One of his comrades said, "Where did you get him?" He said, "Oh, the woods is full of them. Go get yourself one." Well, I'm here to tell you, the woods is full of them. Buffalo is full of... Do you know how many unchurched people there are in this community? Wow. Why, we could fill this place three times over. And if you think about it, look around, we probably only have about a third of the congregation here this morning anyway. So we got lots of space for them. So remember that. The woods is full of them. The mountains are full of them. The town is full of them. Go get yourself one. Now, if it feels like I'm twisting your arm, I am. Because I don't need to make any bones about it. Jesus does that in the gospel today. Jesus is confronted by Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus is a person who is really intelligent. He has studied the law. He has taught the law. He knows the law. But he's also seen Jesus in action. He's also heard Jesus preaching. And he's fascinated by what Jesus says, but some of it doesn't compute with what he has learned, because he has learned that the only way you get to heaven is by keeping every single law perfectly, every day. And he knows that isn't very possible. So he's hoping that Jesus can give him some new insight. And Jesus does. You need to be born of the Spirit, which seemed a little strange to him. But Jesus compares it to the wind. Most of us know what that wind is like. We've felt it. We've heard it. But do you know where it came from?
Casey.
You know where? Well, oh, where?
Casey.
Casey? Oh, yeah. Sometimes it does come from down there. Or Sheldon. Sheridan, rather. In the town of Sheldon in Iowa. But Jesus says, that's the way the Spirit works. In a way you can never predict. Because Nicodemus is of the opinion that God hates sin. And because God hates sin, he hates the sinner. And that's when Jesus lets him have the best gospel of all. The one every one of us should have right up here and right in here. God doesn't hate the sinner. God loves the sinner so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might have life through him. There's an article by Robert Raines that I thought said a great deal, not only for me, but also for you, because it describes the way in which the Holy Spirit has grabbed a hold of me many, many times. Sometime it's going to hold. But the Holy Spirit is also trying to get through to you in your heart every single day. Right, Raines writes, a call may come as a nudge, a glimpse, a touch, a glance, fresh insight, or tearing sorrow. It may come in the earthquake of anger, grief, or the still small voice. However it comes, the initiative of an alien or friendly power strikes us with surprise and disruption. I was taken by the scruff of my life and shaken loose from the securities and identities that had served me or that I had served for 50 years. I was mugged in the night by a strange assailant who was God. The Holy Spirit has spoken to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And he is saying the same thing that he said to Abraham. I will bless you so that you can bless others. There's lots of them out there in the woods. Just go get you a couple. And he's also saying, remember, God really does love you. Love you enough to give his own son to die for you. As we look to the future, we look with hope and with the promise that God has already called us, called St. Luke's, to be his body here in Buffalo. And as such, he won't let us down. Because with that comes the promise that he will be with us always, even to the end of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.